This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for social and political straight talk on air, online, and on point. Get ready to join the conversation with your host, Ms. Tanya Free.
Today is Wednesday, December the 16th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends. Former Richmond Councilman Bill Johnson, how are you?
I'm doing fine, lady. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here. And also with us is Reverend Whitson. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Thank you for being here today. And also back with us is our roving correspondent and social media, Antoinette Bell. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good, good. And also behind the desk is Marcus Evans and Mr. Free. And we're going to get a shout out to our friend, Niera, who's a little bit under the weather. Get well and be back with us on next week, hopefully. Today, I want to invite all of our listeners to join the conversation. Our phone lines are open, 804-321-1010. Our toll-free number, 844-321-1010. Or you can text us at TanyaFree63975. Or if you listen on your phone, dial 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AM/FM 247. Before we start talking about last night's debate, I want to talk about something Justice Scalia said, that something along the lines that we will be better at lesser schools. But let me set it up first as to where that statement came from. A young lady by the name of Abigail Fisher was protesting, or better yet, she brought the case against the in court with regards to the Texas University affirmative action admission policy. And it was declined, and she went back and, I guess, more so, you know, wanted to protest it one more time. And my question to you all, do we still need affirmative action at this point in time and in our history in 2015?
My initial response is yes, we do. We need a conscious effort to not only find a racial balance, but a gender balance in admission policies, so that at least an opportunity is extended to get to some of these higher institutions. I think we have done ourselves a disservice by not bringing credibility to our own historical black institutions and not seeing the value of our own, because I think you get a lot more out of historical black institutions because of the cultural nurturing that we get there. But I do think that there is a need for there to be an opening, because if we left it to their devices, they would not make room. There would always be, as long as you're a minority, there's always going to be someone more qualified than you, in their opinion, when they're making a decision. So I do think that there is a need to make sure if you're receiving any kind of a federal or state funds, that there is an effort put forward that there is a broad cross section of the people that you're serving, or at least given the opportunity.
Right, and this is probably seen in the University of Missouri last month when the students had to protest because they were receiving racial slurs on campuses, and chances are the university itself was not diverse enough as it should have been if they had to get rid of the president. What do you think,
Reverend? I agree with Brother
Robinson. Not yet.
Yes, the reality is some mechanism has to be in place to assure or at least provide an opportunity for qualified students to not only apply to these institutions but engage in the learning teaching process. Because if there isn't anything there, if there's not a voice, then most likely lesser number of students of color, minority students, my brother referenced gender, will not receive an opportunity to engage on that level. But the other hand, I believe we need to find ways of encouraging and nurturing our historical black institution. Because there's a different kind of dynamics. And what we have today, many of our children are experiencing a culture shock. Mm-hmm. A culture shock in that they were not reared in a climate that would reject who they are as a person, education on it. And so now the system is such, particularly in these higher learning institutions, Ivy League schools, they are literally saying to our students, students of color in particular, we don't want you. And we, and one way we can display our desire not to have you is to make it more difficult for you to be a part of our institution.
Let me read a text. Jesse text that the girl, Abigail Fisher, did not have the scores to get in the university from the start. And my question to you is this. What is her claim? She didn't have the grades anyway. She wouldn't have gotten in, you know, whether she was black, white, or anything else, because mm-hmm. she didn't have the grades. Mm-hmm. How often do we see, we talk about historically black university, how often do we see the crossover where whites try, you know, apply to black universities?
Not to the degree where they're making any kind of a difference. If I was a poor white student, and I wanted to get an education, I would apply to a historically black school and reply as a minority. It's just the power, just economics. But you have these schools, these Ivy League schools, who they would claim that you don't have the academic scores.
Right.
But then you'll get somebody who can barely read and put them on the football team to make millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
For the university, and they're coddling you along where you can barely write your name.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to put it like that, but it's the facts.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a, we have young African Americans who can compete on that level, and they're being denied an opportunity to compete with you academically. But then they'll bring in someone else, or bring in an athlete, whether it's basketball or football, mm-hmm. because they bring revenue to the
right.
school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll coddle you along.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a hypocrisy to this thing here, and I think there has to be affirmative action. If there's going to be federal dollars spent, if there's going to be local dollars, state, even for state institutions, we should make sure that we have an mm-hmm. adequate number of seats at the table academically. Because we don't have any problem filling up the football team, filling up the basketball team.
Right. Or the arenas.
Yes.
Because our kids are on the field.
That's even changing. That's changing because they're challenging the students, the athletes in particular, to have at least a C average.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was in high school, and I'm not an old man, if you played on a basketball team or football team, you must have a C average. So mm-hmm. it's nothing new. Just that they receive our children, African-American athletes, on these teams to generate revenue, to build these wonderful stadiums. Now they have accomplished their goal, so now they want to wean them out. And how do they wean them out? Because the students, they are qualified as an athlete, but as a student academically, they do not meet the standards. So now we're just weaning them out of the system. They have what we want. And that's where we must come together and provide a solid foundation, beginning at the elementary level, into middle school and high school, academically, that our children would not only be able to read, not only write, and know math, but they're able to think analytically. And that begins, matter of fact, before elementary level.
Right.
And so we cannot, from my perspective, point our finger at anyone else except we ourselves and challenge our students. Do your best, because all of our students, not E students, not all of them are F students, but I will challenge our students to work to their potential and find individuals to give them the kind of support they need. And so we have to turn this tide around. So yes, even with some of these universities, they have these excellent athletes, they're weaning them out academically because they have accomplished their goal.
And not just African Americans. We should make sure that affirmative action represent the cross section of America. You know, Spanish, Asian, everyone should be given a shot. Now, we don't have any problem with Asians because generally they're at the higher echelon anyway, as far as academics is concerned. But when you talk about affirmative action,
so race should be a factor or not?
Yes, yes, okay. Very much so, very much so. And because you've got folk who are coming out and recruiting you in one area, but they're holding you back in another.
Right, from an academic standpoint. Yes. Right, that is very, very true. And like I said, I raised the question once again. Justice Scalia saying lesser schools. Why does he feel that our schools are lesser schools? I take it to be a racial thing coming from him. And this young lady, if she was not qualified to get into a Ivy League school or to Texas, then yeah, why not apply it to a historically black school?
Well, you've got,
like I said, we don't have the, we're talking about making the Ivy League school more diverse, which is, you know, I think we should. But how about on the other end of the spectrum?
Well, we have not.
Why are our schools more diverse as well?
Because
we need to be able to interact as well with all people, you know, of ethnicities.
But we have not made our schools valuable. When we had,
that's offensive.
Big part. Well, we haven't. At one time, if you came from Morehouse or Spelman or one of these schools,
Virginia Union.
Yes, Virginia Union.
Hampton.
How about Virginia State?
But these were sought after institutions that we aspired to get into.
Right.
Right now, we have diluted our educational value, and I'm not going to say value, but we've diminished that by seeking to go to other institutions that we claim or we think that we can get a better opportunity than going to Spelman, to going to Morehouse or Virginia Union. You understand what I'm saying? And then when we launch from there,
right,
still go out to be like the A. Philip Randolphs and the other dynamic individuals that we've always produced into this society that has come out historically black institutions. We have not put the value into what we have, what we control, and what we hold dear. We should have it so that they are knocking on our door to get in.
Right, that's my point.
You see what I'm saying?
That's
my point. We have not done that.
That's
you can't
my
expect
point.
Them to do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's
let's spend our tax dollars at home.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
If we want to put that kind of value, that kind of cultural pride back into what we're doing, then let's go to the institutions that we created and support them and make them valuable. My child don't have to go to Princeton.
Right, because I was reading Judge Thomas, Clarence Thomas, went to Yale, and he was saying that even though he went to Yale, he still was not looked upon as, you know, he had graduated from Yale. They still made him jump through the hoops, you know. And basically, we know what that's about.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though he went to an Ivy League school, he still was put on the spot more or treated differently than someone else that went to Yale, a white person that went to Yale.
But who prepared him to participate at that level? For a black institution that gave him the foundation, that equipped him to function at that level. And we need, as you said, Brother Bill, we need to find ways to promote the quality education which we provide, both from the secondary to the institutions of higher learning, because there are some good African-American historical black colleges out there.
Yeah, Virginia State.
I think they all are. But again, we have, and not only just in the colleges that we go to, but the communities that we live in.
Exactly.
We have, you know, we don't have to go to the college level. We're taking our kids out of city schools and institutions because we feel like they'll get a better education if they're in a county school or all-white school. And then they'll still put you in the learning disability class.
Right.
We have not seen the value of our neighborhoods, the value of the schools that we go to, and concentrate our efforts, you know, in our own communities. We have not done it. I can't blame anybody for not wanting to for going and try to get the highest and best use, but I don't see your ice being any colder than mine, and your
that's
grass being any greener.
Yeah, Sam says that we think white folks' ice is colder.
Cold.
We still have that mindset, which is very
unfortunate. This is new now, because when we were forced to do it, we did well. Academically, we did well because we had teachers that understood where you came from. Hello, dumb son was that what Danny Holden couldn't do math either. You understand? He was in the class with me. But now she lives in the county because she can afford to. So she puts little Johnny out there in the county too. And he can't read. And a lot of them out there can't read. So it's the perception.
Mm-hmm.
And they have diluted us until we can see the value in what we have and promote what we have. You understand? I really don't care. I'm not mad with you because you want to go to the all-white school. I'm not mad. Okay? But I'm gonna make sure that you understand the pride of being a dragon, the pride of being a wildcat, the pride of being a justice in our inner city schools.
Okay. You made that real clear. Well, the other thing is this. I think it really bothers me that Justice Scalia would even make that type of comment. And looking at the debate last night, and I mentioned this last week, that we have presidential candidates that are straight out, in my opinion, racist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so why do we have folks on the justice system, and then we got folks running for the presidency, and just straight out racism? I mean, it is just outright blatant. And I would have to say that, you know, since President Obama has been in office, it's always been there, but now it is just like I said, blatant.
I don't know why we're acting shocked.
Well, I'm disturbed by it.
Well, why are you disturbed? Help me to understand.
Because they have the nerve to actually just, you know, we've been fighting racism for a very long time, but to be just outright with it. I mean, it's just disturbing that we haven't moved further than we are.
Well, we have moved further. We have
no,
gone.
No, I'm saying it looks like it's a step backwards. It's a step backwards. And we're going to take a break. Today's praise break is Jesus is the Reason for the Season by Kirk Franken. Sponsored by DNS Cleaning, residential and commercial cleaning services. Give them a call, 804-272-3138.
There's never enough time for everything in a day, and the last thing you want to worry about is having to clean your home or business. Let D&S Cleaning Services make it a little easier for you. We do the work so you don't have to, and there's no job too big or too small. We offer full-service cleaning service for residential and commercial properties, including floor cleaning, stripping and waxing, carpet cleaning, and more. Our staff is professional, courteous, and trained for the highest level of customer satisfaction. Call us today at 804-272-3138.
In all honesty, if racists offered me $100,000 to lie on Obama, I'd do it. Nobody believes that crap anyway. What? You want me to say he's a Muslim born in Kenya? Heck, make it $200,000 and I'll say blacks started white colonial slavery 1,000 years before whites even existed.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
New time, mornings, 10 a.m. Eastern on Real Brother Radio Network and realbrotherradionetwork.com. Brought to you by Black Trade Lines. Go to blacktradelines.com and register your business or service today. Black Trade Lines. Empowerment is only a download away.
What is New Orleans Talk Network? It's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You get ready because the conversation will be hot and better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app available on Android, iPhone, iPad, and you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide. That's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Join me, Ty Bailey, on Just Jazz, the weekly jazz program aired on Saturday night from 9 until 11 p.m. Just Jazz showcases the best in jazz, current releases, reissues, and selections from past great recordings. It's here on the Tanya Free and Friends Radio Network at tanyafree.com. Just Jazz is also streamed 24 hours a day at tybailey.com.
Reclaiming the Drum, WMXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the Drum.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir. And folks just love like Eskimos. Turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. The little bitty babies with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see a reindeer truly know how to fly.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
I'm going to go straight to the phone. My friend William, how are you, friend?
Friend, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, no problem.
I first of all, I'd like to say that Josh, he forgot to mention you and I. Go fast. Woo!
Okay.
Also, I want to agree with Mr. Trump as well. There's opportunities for those who would like to attend Ivy League schools or a majority white university or college. The opportunity is there, and you have the opportunity if you want to go there. That's your choice. But by all means, we should not be misled or misguided thinking that HBCUs are a lesser quality university. Some of our greatest minds, from an African American perspective, started our journey at HBCUs, and they maybe went on to either Ivy League school or another school just to get that master's or doctorate. But their journey started there, and the atmosphere that we're in right now with the judge making that statement about we should attend lesser university or we don't belong at such university. You know, and that's to me was a race motivated blanket statement, and that's where we are right now as far as the country is concerned. But by all means, from your greatest mind, like I said before, came out of start that journey at HBC University. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, William. We appreciate your comments.
You're certainly welcome.
I want to welcome two of my friends, Danny Lowry, for joining us. How are you?
Hey, Ty. I'm good. I'm sorry. I'm a little late.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. And also with us is Brian Robertson. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me. What
do you all think with regards to affirmative action? Do you all think race should still be a factor?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. We need affirmative action. But Clarence Thomas gonna vote against it.
And it's really surprising being that affirmative action helped him to get to where he is now.
He used it to get where he is. Now he's talking about pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
He's
been saying that for a while.
That is so ridiculous. And we got to, you know, that guy Scalia, that is ridiculous. I mean, as long as I've been living, I've never heard a Supreme Court justice come out and speak about race so blatantly. And we already knew how they stood on it, you know, for many years. But none of them ever came out like that. That is so retarded of him to think, because of the color of his skin, that he's smarter than somebody else.
Well, you know, if he was coming up in this day and time, he may not be allowed in this country if it was up to Donald Trump, because he is a descendant of immigrants.
Yeah.
So he needs to take a step back real quick and check himself.
You know, it's so ridiculous. You know, W.E.B. Du Bois graduated from Harvard or Yale back in the 1800s, way back in the day, before he was even born. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then he got a nerve to talk about black people in these top schools. You know, that is just so ridiculous.
Yeah,
I think
is.
This stuff needs to stop from those people.
First of all, I'd just like to thank you for bringing this topic up about Justice Scalia, because I heard about this quote about a week ago, but I didn't see any of the major media make a big deal about
right.
it.
Right.
They spoke on it, but they didn't beat it into the ground.
And why not? Because he's a Supreme Court justice.
Right. And that's what bothers me. Racism is very, blatant, like I said before, but the media does not address it in that fashion, as it is a major issue. But we want to still thrive on, you know, the presidential candidates being able to say whatever the heck they want to say, and it's okay.
Well, because you know what? Those are two different things. But Justice Scalia, he's in there now. He's comfortable.
For life.
He's in there for life.
Yeah, that's why they need to change the law.
But now we're getting ready to put possibility of putting a president in office.
Exactly.
That will be on the same page.
On the same page. And you know, I don't think it's going to happen.
I think you got
too many Americans that just don't buy into Trump. The thing is, we have a filter. The media is filtering the Republican side. And they said, if you add up all the other candidates running against Trump, that's the majority. But Trump is playing on people's fears. Okay.
Of course.
But getting back to Scalia, it just shows, just like President Bush, how ignorant he was, but he got to be president, and it shows how ignorant Supreme Court justice is. And he's going to regret those statements the rest of his life. He said them. He probably believes it. But he will not be welcome to a lot of places.
Oh, he wouldn't
and
be.
And even, I bet Clarence Thomas even said, what?
No.
No.
No, no, no. I'm just saying, I think Clarence Thomas probably said, what?
No.
He really said it?
No. Clarence Thomas go for anything they say.
In this day and time.
He's not happy being in black skin.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Reggie, how are you, friend?
Hey, peace and blessing to you and to your illustrious panel. Happy holidays to the crew.
Same to you, Reggie.
Happy holidays to you.
And I don't understand why y'all are delusional, like Brother Califani said, that when some people out there in the media would rather have a horse get a front page than a beautiful queen.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, mm-hmm. Why are we so delusional? And isn't it interesting that in a couple of weeks, we're going to see all these beautiful black men like that young man that won the Heisman, and I give honor and praise to that Alabama young man, because first thing he did was he thanked God.
There you go.
I mean, he thanked God. You know, them people had a fit. Like, all the Negro, now just get this award. You ain't supposed to be thanking God now. You know, you're supposed to be an animal. You're supposed to be a beast. You know, you're not supposed to be thanking God. Mm-hmm. You know, how dare you do that? I mean, this is how the mindset is, because I mean, y'all need to help me with something, because brother need help. I'm just delusional now. When it came to our HBCUs, and a lot of the black presidents of HBCUs are Republicans, like my man Harvey down in Hampton. I mean, you got plenty of them. And I say, God bless them. But what really hurts me to my heart is that, it hurts me to say this, but this administration under my man President Obama, we got hurt when it came to a lot of those loans that really crashed our schools.
They did.
Then, I mean, what really hurts is that you got black folks out here that were paid $20,000, $30,000 to go to European schools. But yet, when it comes to jobs like Virginia Tech and getting contracts, no, nigga, we're not going to do it. When Michael Vick went there, enrollment went up 30%. And here's another little caveat to that. Now, Joe Paterno had a little situation with his coach and the little boys and everything. And, you know, we not forgot that. Just look at Penn State, how much money was revenue where? From athletes. Now, every time I look on TV and I see football games, I see nothing but brothers, like it's a, you know, family reunion. But yeah, when I look at the cheerleaders, look at the coaching staff, can't find brothers in charge.
People in the stands.
People in the stands, yeah.
Right.
Thank you. I mean, we talking, look, Ohio State tickets are more than the Dallas Cowboys. They have seen $20 to $30 million a game. Hmm. 20 to 30. That's what their gate gets. But yet when I go to HBCU, even the big boys down the SWAC, you might get 20 to 30,000 people there. Hell, they put that many on one side at those European schools. So I have to ask the question, have we let our community down when it comes to our HBCU?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
I think
Bill
Mr. Johnson,
yeah.
He said that earlier. We have no one else but to blame ourselves, Reggie.
For not seeing the value of what we have.
Mm-hmm. I was at Virginia Union and Virginia State game a couple of Sundays ago at the Ad Center. Hell, they could throw everybody in the Marco Stevens that attended. And God bless those people that attended. But I'm looking around, I'm like, guys, y'all not realize if you're not putting economic dollars back into our product, the product's not going to be here.
That's right. Absolutely.
And we even have our college presidents today at our black colleges going out and soliciting white teachers and white directors to run our programs because, you know, they don't feel that we aren't meeting the mark, not even quote economic development.
A white coach, and all of a sudden that what the white coach wants, he gets, and this has already a multimillionaire.
Right. But at the same time, these white universities, and you see all the protests now, like even here at VCU, the white universities are being basically they're being taken to task because they don't have enough black professors.
Right.
So it's going to get even worse at our black universities, our black HBCUs, because those professors are being wooed now by the white schools that never would talk to them before.
Right.
So you're going to see even more. Now, I will say, you know, my wife, she's a professor at Virginia State University, and she remarked that, you know, she's seeing more diversity at VSU, more white kids coming there getting degrees,
I asked that question early.
Getting them grants, too.
Huh?
Getting those grants.
And
they're coming in minority. At the same time, their staff, as far as people teaching at the university, is increasing in white folks and Indians because we can't find it's a double edged sword. You know, they're trying to find, you know, qualified blacks, but now the white universities, I mean, just at JMU, and I went to JMU, and not because I didn't want to go to HBCU.
It's all good. Hey, my daughter went to JMU, and my other one went to Longwood.
Yeah, there you
go. I'm as black as you get with HBCU. What can I say?
But
that's
I mean,
want to go.
It's colleges like that are being stressed out because they're trying to find professors. You know, they're Georgetown, trying to find African-American professors.
Well, I think we might be doing ourselves an injustice, and it may be time for us to quit labeling our universities historically black and get on into the business of educating.
Right.
And
I agree.
I got it. Whoa.
It's too late,
okay, man. Wait. Hold on. old and old. Have y'all seen the mission statements of all HBCU schools? Have you seen the mission statement?
No, I haven't.
The first thing the mission statement says is that we are here to educate the black community. It might have been 80 or 100 years ago, but well, we just agreed to disagree on that. Because why is it that we have to be acquiesced when it comes to our heritage, not history?
I didn't say that.
But it gets to a point where
we know in our hearts. When I walk out in the street, I know I'm black. Anywhere I go or any room I walk into, I know I'm black. I don't have to, because here I come, I'm a black man, because folk know this. My point is, there gets to a point where we ask for acceptance, but we walk away in with that chip on our shoulder or that label on our foreheads. It gets to a point where we have to elevate ourselves.
Right.
You know, to the point where is here I am, this is where I'm from, and this is what I do.
Yes.
So we have to grow. We have grown from the segregation, the Jim Crows, and where it's illegal for you to treat me a certain kind of way or discriminate me in a certain kind of way. Yet and still, we put ourselves in boxes and keep labels from the past.
I disagree to a certain extent.
I'm sorry.
We got caught up into the number game in terms of receiving financing from the federal government, financing from the state government, in terms of increasing. Yes, I'm just saying that what we did, and getting caught up into the number game, we were more concerned about getting numbers into our institutions versus students who were quote unquote qualified to study or to participate in some of these schools.
The European schools do the same thing. I mean, they got gray shirt, white shirt. Guess what? Every time they get X number of people in there, they get money for it. Come on. Don't act like the European school. And like when it comes to government contracts, guess what? They look for numbers.
I'm not saying that the European schools did not do this. What I'm saying is that we had a standard. And then that we got caught up to this number game, we lowered our standard. Anytime you can have a student participating in an institution of higher learning for 1 year, taking courses and do not receive one credit, that person shouldn't be on a college campus. Right. That person should be in a community college.
You tell you went to Kentucky that basketball team, because they do the same darn thing.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying.
But wouldn't that be hurting?
I'm not being argumentative. I'm just keeping it real. That's what they do too.
There's nothing wrong with keeping it real, but doesn't that hurt people when you're in school and you
that's
can't?
That's why a lot of times those same kids that come from black white institutions come to HBU because they've been torn down and been lied to, and we're the ones that put our arms around them and clean them up. And a lot of those young men graduate and young ladies graduate
HBU schools to me are not any lower than the rest of them because you know what? There are some dynamic professionals out here, big-time business owners, big-time lawyers, all kinds of people that's doing great from HBCU universities. So they can come all they want to. But that still what my man is saying, that if a person can't earn a credit, you shouldn't be in college.
Right.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. What are you, can't even write your name.
Let me say this so we take a break. I think that we can still be historically black schools, but be more diverse.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back. Let's talk about that.
We'll take a break and be right back.
Ring with the harmonies. Then our rejoicing rise, and it frees us.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Text ADVERTISE to 63975 or call 844-321-1010 to see how Freedom Marketing can put your business on the map for a lot less than you may think. Call 844-321-1010 or text ADVERTISE to 63975 today.
Has your health insurance changed or is it about to change? Are you or did you move to a different state, change jobs, get a divorce, get married, or have a baby? Then you know what? You may qualify for a special health insurance enrollment period for the affordable Obamacare plans. And to find the right plan, you can get free help right now from Health Markets. They'll help you choose the right plan from over 140 different companies, plus help you maximize your Obamacare free government subsidies. Why pay a penny more than you have to for health insurance? Call anytime, day or night, to learn more about the special enrollment period to qualify for Obamacare. Here's our number. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Not available in all states.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24-7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona. We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Dinah Washington to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contests and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
Hang all the mistletoe, I'm gonna get to know you better. This Christmas, and as we trim the tree, how much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside's blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be a very special Christmas. Presents and cards are here, my world is filled with cheer and you. This Christmas, and as I look around, your eyes outshine the town of you. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night, and this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll-free coast to coast. That's toll-free,
844-321-1010. And it is something that so many people want to see change. Not only are you a female CEO, you're a minority CEO. Where do you fall on who has to make the change and how it is going to happen so that there are more women like you represented in the top echelons of corporate America?
Right. So I totally agree with you. But it starts with the top of many companies. It has to start with top leadership. I can tell you that even with myself, I have to live it also. My executive team is very diverse, and I make that a priority. I demand it of my team and within the structure. And then every now and then you have to nudge your partners and you have to speak up and speak out. And I try to use my platform for that to remind people. I try to set an example. I mentor many women inside my company and outside the company because I think it's important.
And in hiring, do you demand it when you're hiring for the top spots?
Absolutely. And not only that is I talk to my suppliers about it. Just today we met with a supplier and the entire other side of the table was all Caucasian male. That was interesting.
What did you say?
Well, I decided not to talk about it directly with his folks in the room because there were actually no female like levels down. So I'm going to place a call to him.
That was Rosalind Brewer, a president and CEO of Sam's Club. And I commend her.
African-American
sister, yes. Making this statement on mainstream media. Because a lot of times what you said, Bill, we get to these high positions, African-American folks, and we forget where we came from. And what she was saying is so, so very true. And that's how we as a people, each one of us, need to do our part in making a difference. And what she was saying is very true. We were talking about diversity in colleges, but also we need diversity in our corporations.
Oh, without a doubt. And we need to understand that the majority population, white corporate America, is becoming more diverse in the sense that they are a lot more accepting and tolerant of change. Even in this presidential election, we're talking about the first woman to be elected. They, too, are seeing less about gender and color and more about proficiency and running their companies. I mean, when you look at the attorney general and what she's doing, there is a change going on. You know, there is tremendous change going on and more acceptance of people.
But she's
the second woman.
The first
one was African American, Shirley Chisholm. To do what?
Run for president.
Yeah, Shirley Chisholm was the first.
Oh, run for president. But yeah, but this woman got a chance to win it.
I will say, Bill, that while you say more companies, maybe more of the blue chip, but you got tech companies that are coming out there, and again, it looks like the reincarnation of the old guard. Most of these companies, Google, Yahoo, even Facebook. I'm sorry.
Mark Zuckerberg.
You don't see us in
you
the room.
You don't see us in there.
You don't see us in the
who
room.
Who is teaching that in our schools? Who's teaching that technology?
Well, we won't start with our political system.
No, I don't start with the political system because we control.
Once again, we control how
we're the consumer.
Not only that, we are the superintendents and we run our schools. And you've got kids in school with $600 phones, and you won't even allow them to turn them on. You haven't even moved to the level of technology that allow our students to even take advantage of the technology they have in their pockets.
The reason I say our political system is because you have our political leaders spewing the racist rhetoric that we have been hearing.
Hey.
That is just like a pass to those folks that are just dying to discriminate against
going
you.
Going back to what Scalia said.
The coalition of folk that's going to elect the next president, they're not thinking like that. You know, I mean, this is Donald Trump who's basically supported.
Oh, yes, they are. That's who they're catering to.
I'm not going to say they're not thinking of it, but you got to go back to Mitt Romney. You know, 40% of America thought like him. That's not good.
No, right.
Well, I mean, they are the majority
even
more population.
So, those are the people that would definitely come out and vote. That's the difference. The folks that you're talking about, you and I, that do not think like that, can't count on.
I mean, we just finished talking about the support of historical black schools. Now, you can't put me in that category because I'm telling you that 99.5% of the way I think starts with me.
Well, I'm telling you what, get ready for the Angelica Christian because
I'm sick of
Ted Cruz was talking about the other day in the last election, 58 million of them sat on their hands. But they've got several candidates out there, whoever is going to get the nomination. And if they wake them up,
These are the knuckle draggers. When you underestimate
and everyone has underestimated Trump to this point.
Exactly.
I'll talk about a poll where they polled 500 people out of 350 million of us.
Let me say this.
You know, some people are too optimistic about this craziness that's going on with the Republican candidates. You know, to me, it's just foolishness because here you are. You had Mitt Romney was a straight-out liar. I mean, every time he came on TV, it was a different story from what he said the day before. I mean, they caught him in so many lies. He didn't have no shame. He'll come back the next day and change up and say something stupid again. But anyway, he won a lot of votes. And he's more capable than any of these people that's on that stage up there now. And he started off like a racing car against President Obama. But at the end, President Obama left him about 50 lengths or something behind. I mean, he just blew him on out the
door. And none of those polls that they put Romney,
What got President Obama over was we actually came out in droves.
Yeah.
How many of those folks going to come out in droves for Hillary Clinton?
Because I can tell
probably a lot of them. You got a lot of people.
I would buy in on this.
A lot of them like Hillary.
Yeah. But a lot of them.
They look at Hillary as establishment. They look at Hillary as same old Obama.
I don't think the country is ready for that foolishness that you see up there. Those people don't ever talk about substance. I mean, they get up there. I mean, you ask Trump a question, and he'll go all out and tell you how smart he is and all these businesses.
Yeah, everybody
else, and all this old kind of foolishness. He doesn't say anything about anything that can help his country.
But then you look at those groups they show, man, and it's scary because
how many of us you see there?
Oh, you see a few now.
You see one or two.
Yeah, but that few ain't.
You see a few now.
You get, especially when you have ministers.
That didn't happen with Mitt Romney.
And they will sway those ones that may have voted for President Obama. And just because their pastor saying that, okay,
right.
Trump is this and Trump. Who do you think they're going to vote for?
Let me tell you something.
The flock will follow.
No, sir.
You know that guy that was on that went up there with Trump, that was from Richmond, wasn't that? Parsons?
Yeah,
Parsons.
Man, them people about to run him out of the church. They come up with, they start talking so much about him, people leaving the church and all. You know, these people are going crazy.
But on a serious note, you asked about Hillary Clinton. The reality is we have increased the number of women who are part of the voting machine, number one.
That's right.
But and women two, not voting just because she's a woman.
Yeah, man. A lot of problems.
But again, history, there's a sense of history in the making with the first female president.
That's right.
And the same thing with President Obama. No, she may not get all the votes as President Obama received.
And that's going to be the issue right there. Because you're going to have those evangelicals like Brian was saying, they're going to come out in droves.
Yeah, but
And I'm going to say this, because one of our state elections, Dan Gecker and Sturdivant, I think that's what made the difference.
That's right.
That's what made the world a difference. Those evangelicals
came out.
Yeah, but you know.
That does not happen with black folks and other
Brett
folks.
That's how Brett got elected.
Right.
Well, Tanya, you know. Most
or
people,
Eric Cantor, how he lost.
Yeah, right. but a lot of
Warner's election was close. I think it was surprising to him.
It was.
It's very close. And why do you think the Congress is now over is majority Republican?
Well, we did not vote. We did not come out and
that's
vote.
That's my point.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
Now you're going to wake up the Angelicals because they got a candidate?
They always talk about Angelicals. And they steady be losing. They always talk about Angelicals. Angelicals. I'm sick of those people.
You're sick of them all you want, but they come out and they show up.
Always out there. Obama ran for president.
But they still lose, Tanya. Think about it. They still lose. They can turn out all they want to. Who have they helped to get over?
But you understand? They didn't have a reason. Mitt Romney was not supported by them. They got Ted Cruz.
He was a Mormon.
He was not far right enough.
Exactly.
But if you get one of the Tea Party that is extremely right, I believe, like Ted Cruz,
I don't think it's
enough.
That's why Jeb Bush is having such a hard time. He is not far right enough.
And
for them.
People are tired of Bushes in a way.
Okay.
Maybe that's the case. But y'all think Hillary's a shoo-in. I think she's got the best shot of winning.
With Angelica's not gonna vote for her.
Right.
They're gonna vote for the other person.
Angelica's. We're not thinking of Angelica's. Them Jokers have not helped nobody get in office since.
You all underestimated.
It's a new day.
Donald Trump, and look where he is now.
Well, you're right.
Everyone thought Donald Trump was going to fall off the wagon.
Right.
He still ain't.
Well, look, we got to go to the Black Talk commentary. Our friend Scotty Reed.
Hello? I would like to speak to Von Quisha. Yes, this is Oda. Well, tell her she is going to hear me one way or the other. Either she steps outside or either she's going to hear me through the door. You know, Bonquisha, ever since you and I stopped seeing each other, I ain't been doing nothing but thinking. I ain't been able to sleep. I ain't been able to do nothing that required you being in it. Baby, I know that we've had rough times before, but we got through it. Like the time all the power went off in the house, and we had to finish cooking the collard greens on the happy eater, but we did it together. All the time the defroster didn't work on the microwave, and the turkey was still frozen. Remember, we had to get chicken down from Larry's Long Neck Leg Quarter Late Night Chicken House. Remember? But now I don't have you, and that's why I'm having these Christmas blues. Yes, Christmas blues. Sometimes I wonder, was it worth it? Waking up early in the morning to go to the little champ to get you 3 pickle eggs, some Lay's plain potato chips, and a Coca-Cola. I said, self, was it worth it? And myself answered back, yes, it was real worth it. I miss you, and I love you so much. I'll do anything to make you mine again. I'm also lonely, so, so sad and blue. I'm spending Christmas Day without you. I'm very, very sad and lonely. But anyway, let me tell you something. I do have you and the kids a present this year. I had y'all a present last year, but, you know, my alternator broke in my truck. And, you know, I need my truck for to go to work. And so I had to take the receipt, take all the presents back, and fix my alternator. But I do got you a present this year. I didn't have time to wrap it up. I got in some brown pick and save bags. Also, I got some wine. I got some cold duck, baby. You need to open the door. He quacking. I remember one Christmas, maybe 3 Christmases ago, we ran out of ham, and you said you wanted another ham. But you really didn't say you wanted another ham. I just figured that's what you wanted. So they had a 12 dozen crab special, so I got you a dozen of big blue crabs. I mean, I'm just saying, I just hope this Christmas is a little different. You know, I just want a little turkey, a little of that sweet, sweet plum dressing. You know, I just want the kids to be happy. And, you know, Bon Quisha, I know when we got married, I vowed to give you diamonds and pearls. But when I hurt my back at work, my workman's comp could only get zirconia and Gannon necklaces. I also said that when we moved out of your mama's house, we were going to move into a place double her size. That's why I got 2 trailers and put them together. Yes, baby, double wide. All those things I done for you and the kids, but I still have these Christmas blues because I'm spending Christmas out the kids and you. I love you, Bon Quisha. I love you. But you know what? One thing I want to tell you this year about Christmas. Last year, when you served up all the turkey and everything, and you know, all of the trimmings and everything, when the cranberry dressing got round to me, There was none left. So please, could you, I hope you have two cans of cranberry dressing in there because I love that cranberry sauce. Please. Thank you. And please open the door, baby. It's cold.
This is Scotty Reed of Black Talk Radio News with your weekly political commentary. Last night was the latest installment of political entertainment television as two tiers of Republican presidential candidates took to the stage to pontificate on the issues. Last night, the number one issue, of course, was terrorism, and it was quite terrifying to hear the various ways the candidates proposed stripping away even more of the civil liberties of citizens and further ramping up the use of controversial police state tactics. Another terrifying aspect of the GOP debate was how the issue of terrorism was framed, which was, in my opinion, racist and religiously bigoted. The driving force behind the terrorism debate issue on CNN was the recent San Bernardino attacks allegedly committed by a lone wolf Muslim couple. However, numerous terrorist attacks not involving Muslims have occurred in 2015, and there are too many to name in this brief commentary. But here are a few. Numerous black churches in the South were burnt to the ground following the massacre of the Emmanuel Nine in Charleston, South Carolina. A number of black churches were used for target practice, and one instance of a shooting in Tennessee occurred while people were inside of the building. You also had mystery white men showing up at black church services, imitating Dylann Roof. There was a recent firebombing of a mosque, and numerous armed intimidation rallies held outside of mosques, staged by bands of white men all year. There have been numerous violent incidents involving the Confederate flag, which was removed from the South Carolina State House Capitol this year. I also reported on the recent online publishing of the names and home addresses of Muslims who expressed support for legislation establishing legal services for Muslims in Texas. Then we witnessed the white supremacist terrorist attack on Black Lives Matter demonstrators in Minneapolis, where five people were shot. White supremacist organizations are also given political cover to freely and openly raise funds while publishing racist propaganda with the intent to radicalize white people. This is exactly the point of groups like Black Lives Matter, when the corporate and political establishment fail to recognize domestic terrorism aimed at non-white people and religious minorities. The message to those groups is that those lives don't matter. Join me for a regular broadcast of Black Talk Radio News on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
January the 1st, WCLM will be proud to open up its first Mini Mark. It's going to be located at 1314 Hall Street. It's the little store with great big old deals. We'll have some household items, clothes, women and men clothes, accessories, and other things. Just stop on by. January the 1st, Hall Street Mini Mark, 1314 Hall Street. Black folks doing it.
This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani, 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 AM. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for two power-packed hours of news you can use, feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's Get Busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM, 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM, 1450 AM.
Hi, I'm Brian Taylor with Send Out Cards. Send Out Cards is a card and gifting business like none other. This product will help you with prospecting. It will also help you with customer retention. Your friends and family will love the gifts and cards that you send to them. For more information on this amazing product, text Send Out Cards, all one word, 63975. Again, I'm Brian Taylor with Send Out Cards. Text Send Out Cards, all one word, 63975.
My favorite time of year.
Mine too.
You know why?
Why?
Candles burning low, lots of mistletoe, lots of snow and ice,
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We're going to go straight to the phone. Willis, you there?
Hello.
Hi, Willis. How are you?
Hey, how's it going? I like your show.
Thank you.
Hey,
so
you
much.
Know, this is just my personal opinion. When, if you really listen to Trump, he's really full of it. There's no way this man, I don't care if people think in their own minds that he's telling the truth. He's just saying things that, you know, a person would say. But when you look at a president, he's saying things that a president would never say in public like that. I mean, he know what he's doing. He's the type of man that's like attention, and right by now he really don't have to pay for nothing. And then when he do, he just put on the taxes and just get it back. He's a good businessman. And if you look at it, this is my, like I said, my own personal opinion. He's getting it ready. He is creating an atmosphere, for a so-called, we think it's going to be a civil war, but it's not going to be one. But he's just creating the atmosphere for chaos. And when we look at Miss Hillary, mm-hmm. we gotta realize when we look at her history. She used to work for Barry Goldwater. So on both sides, it's really looking kind of gloomy. But if we been prepared and know to be prepared, I think we can outcome this. But as the Bible says, I know some people believe, some don't, that the Gentile reign has come to an end. So what I'm saying, white folks know that they power. It's leaving, and the old saying is if I can't have it, can nobody will. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're doing. So you know, you can take it how it is, but that's just how I feel. Them cats up there, they're all a joke.
Well, let me say this. We were talking during the break that we didn't think Donald Trump would make it this far, and you know he has. And what you were saying, that we know that he's full of, but he has a base that that believe every word he says, and that's what he's catering to. And that's why Ted Cruz won't criticize him, because he hoped that if Trump falls out, he will, you know, pick up the numbers that Donald Trump has accumulated. So thank you, Willis, for your comment. Brian, you were making a comment that Ted Cruz may win Iowa, and Trump may win New Hampshire
and you said South Carolina, maybe.
And if that is the case, then Trump will become the nominee.
Yeah, I mean, there are other primaries, but it's, you know, New Hampshire and then South Carolina, and then they have who you think gonna win in Virginia primary? Trump, probably. Think about it.
No.
Think about what's going. Who's going to win?
President Obama. He may win.
I'm talking about the Republican primary.
Ted Cruz may carry that one. Possibly.
Maybe. Again.
These folk are. Oh, you mean the Republican?
Broken convention.
Yeah, Republican.
Well, I tell you what.
Broken convention. They're not going to allow it to happen. They're just not going to let it happen.
They don't have a choice.
If they knew how to stop Trump, they would have by now. And they've been trying to do that.
Did y'all see the last time Trump came to Virginia? I think he came to Norfolk. It was no, he came to RIR.
Yeah.
Oh, he was off the chain. Cruz hasn't even been here. Mm-hmm.
But you know, man, the things what you are saying, they are a little percentage of Republican voters.
I know. That's what we're hoping.
That has nothing to do with the general population of voters. This crap we see in just a percentage.
Yeah, me too.
No,
me too.
It's just maybe a percentage of those Republican voters. I mean, you know, I don't think, just like in Paris, over in Paris and
I forgot the other countries. They got these far right people talking really crazy.
Well, you know what?
Just like Trump. And those people voted him right on out of office just because it's all over the place.
But the thing is, why is the media giving Trump
such a big platform?
Right, a big platform, as well as the debate. The debate was 2 hours last night.
Ratings.
Right, exactly. So that has to be a large span, a large voting block.
Think about it.
Just the Republicans, though, Tanya. It's mostly Republicans.
I tell you
Republican
what, and the Republicans are thanking their luck, their stars, that Jeb Bush is in the top, because he is like mayonnaise. He is so boring. He just doesn't bring any fire to the fight. And I think that's why his mom said you shouldn't run, because he's out there embarrassing himself. And you got more fire from Rubio, Cruz, and Trump.
I feel that the majority of Republicans are just like black folks at the last election. They're just hanging back. They have not gotten out there and shown themselves.
And the only person
that he's attracting are the knuckle draggers.
I hope you're right.
These are the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. Feel themselves they're losing their country. All this kind of stuff.
But the real
voters and the real conscious people, they haven't shown up. They are not even catering to that block.
And think about this. Do you all know when the next Democratic debate is?
Saturday.
Now, have you seen a whole lot of PR? Danny. Have you seen a lot of PR on that?
No.
Yeah, I heard it was Saturday. They haven't said much about it yet. I heard it this morning that it's Saturday. I'm like, why would they do it on a Saturday during this Christmas season?
They know it's boring.
And people, 9 chances out of 10, won't be watching. But if you see how they promote the Republican debate, it's a totally different ballgame.
It's like a football game.
They show up for about a month, and see how they are catering to a large block compared to the Democratic side.
So guess what? When Hillary and whoever is running against, it's going to be real interesting how the media plays it. Because if it's Trump, guess who's going to get the head of it?
Right. And look how, really, they've gotten a head start already.
Yep.
Over the Democratic Party, in my opinion.
You should be very, that media, see that box right there? And this thing right here, this thing is powerful. That thing's powerful, boy. And Trump get on it if he's the nominee. And he's getting all that press.
Let me tell you something.
Versus
boring.
I'm
going to say this something to
Hillary.
You, Brian. I can be president. Because, listen to me. Somebody like Ronald Reagan and George Bush and Ignoramus Trump.
Okay, Ben Carson, try that one.
And Ben Carson, they don't have a clue. What these people are doing, they have advisors. Don't forget these different advisors.
That's true. We understand that. You laughed when I said that, but they have a number of advisors.
Ben Carson must not have. He looked horrible. But the thing about the advisors, they're getting paid car room with an advisor.
You
can do that. Do you know Ronald Reagan? Every time he used to talk, he used to use index cards. He had Alzheimer's even back then. He couldn't remember nothing. So he was the president. He had advisors advising him on different things.
Trump don't believe in advisors.
Well, he don't have to.
I can have advisors if I wanted to be president. It's a tough job. But I can have advisors tell me everything.
At the end of the day, Obama's not. His advisors are not taking the heat for seemingly being weak on foreign policy.
No, Obama is not weak on foreign policy. Let me talk about that a minute. I'm glad you said that. But that's who's making the money,
the political advisors. And I want to say that 99% of the problem that we are facing now comes from the media. They're the ones who are drumming up all of this chicken little, the sky is falling. You know what I'm saying?
Right now. They're working
Can I say something about Brian? You said something about President Obama showing weakness.
I said the media is blaming President. You were talking about advisors. I said President Obama, advisors aren't getting the heat.
He's the president.
Exactly.
But let me say something to you. I listened to that debate just a little bit last night. And don't you know these people start talking about, our roads and our bridges and this and that needs to be done. And
They already hear President Obama talking about all of that stuff right there.
They're blocking it. They're blocking it.
And what needs to change in this country is the Republican majority in the House
and the Democrats. Right.
And this country would be a much better country.
But how does that happen?
But they want to bypass that.
We have to
and they want to keep blaming President Obama.
They want to go out in the off election.
They want to keep blaming President Obama. But they know the truth. The truth is that these very conservative redneck Republicans, they do not want the Senate and the House of Representatives to go along.
They don't want him
Obama
to get any credit.
So they're gonna,
the same
they
way they're sitting there calling him back. Listen, he's letting Putin run over top of him, and then they just set off a Soyuz rocket with somebody from Britain, somebody from Russia, right, and somebody from the United States to go to the International Space Station where they're collaborating.
Yeah.
And Wednesday, and they said they're talking about something ignorant. Right. You know what I'm saying? Talking about these people that took off. We spent 10 years and billions of dollars propping up an army that when the first shot was fired, they took it off, went running, putting on burqas.
Left all
that equipment. When you see people trying to get into the country, you see military-aged men with the women and the children running away.
Right.
And they are these people that are using our materials and our weapons to fight us, and you say that
that's
we've got to be
doing
scared of these people who haven't seen a vehicle other than a camel.
That's what happened with Bin Laden.
But this is the news media selling us this
crap.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what they are good for. Because now you got Cruz. You got Cruz and those guys talking about.
Hold it though, we got to go to commercial. Today's jazz break is Jingle Bell by Boney Jane, sponsored by Hong Kong Tailors, custom and ready-made fashion for men and women. Give them a call 804-359-5441.
All the chickens.
Hong Kong Tailors at 3200 West Broad has been catering to your needs for over 40 years. Custom-made suits, shirts, pants, coats, and more. Need that special outfit today? No problem. Visit their extensive selection of ready-made fashion and accessories for both men and women. The smart way to shop and a better way to dress. Mention Tanya Free and receive a 10% discount on your next purchase. That's Hong Kong Tailors, 3200 West Broad, 804-359-5441.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Network, coast to coast, on air, online, and on point.
Rand Paul was on Meet the Press this Sunday and had an interesting take. He said, if the amputees at that rehab center had arms, were armed, they would have been able to stop Farouk Saeed. How was that? Well, that was perfect.
It's the Real Brother Radio Show.
New time, 10 a.m. mornings on RealBrotherRadioNetwork.com.
Do you use Viagra or Cialis? Have you been thinking about trying Viagra or Cialis? What if we could promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for Viagra, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call 800-610-3497 and get your 44 pills for $99. Stop overpaying for Viagra. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in an unmarked package. Call us right now. 800-610-3497. 800-610-3497. That's 800-610-3497.
You're listening to AMFM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Hi, this is your buddy Chocolate Chip again. Remember those gifts you received last Christmas that you didn't need and never used? All you really needed was a nice, comfortable bed to rest your very head. This year, give yourself All Love One, a brand-name reconditioned mattress from Furniture at the Venus. $79 for a twin, $89 for a full, with queens going for $99 and kings for only $149. And look, mention this ad and receive 10% off the total purchase. That's Furniture at the Venus, 1420 A. Hull Street, open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m. Give them a call at 232-3500.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
We were talking about the debate last night and how some of the comments were really scary. They were talking about putting Putin back in the box and talking about Hong Kong Il or whatever his name is from Hong Kong.
From North Korea.
Yeah, North Korea. I'm sorry. Kim Jong Il, whatever his name is.
Yeah. North Korea Prime Minister.
Okay. I'm sorry. All I can see is his face and it's
his high top fade.
Yeah, his high top fade. Yeah, you know, it was just really, really disturbing the things that they were saying.
It
was making me nervous.
I got one thing to say. Black people, please get out and vote.
Yeah, you're right. We do.
Become aware, then get out and vote.
Exactly. Exactly. You know. And I just wish we had more choices. That's the
I like
only
it. I like Elizabeth Warren. I was hoping she would run because she don't be joking.
Yeah, not this time around.
She does not be joking, man. Let me tell you something.
Maybe the next time.
What were you saying, Bill?
it really doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
why do you say that?
Because the establishment behind the throne is more treacherous.
How do we bring about change then? Why do you say that?
That's voting off, the truth. Voting off
no,
election.
You got to vote in the off election.
Get rid of those Republicans.
You got to vote Congress. Right. We know the Congress is the problem, but black people, you got to vote in every election, not just the presidential.
From the city council on up.
True.
You know what I'm saying? We don't have anybody to really vote for, but it really doesn't matter. The establishment is going to be the establishment regardless.
No, we can bring about changes, though,
Bill.
Tell
me one thing that this Congress and this Senate has produced.
Nothing much.
But we don't pay attention because we're too busy watching a whole lot of rhetoric and drama. That's the thing. At the same time, we should be very upset, and I said this last week, when we have presidential candidates that are straight-up racist bigots and say things that they're saying. We should be
dividing the country.
And justices as well on the board that are saying racist comments as well.
And you said that we have a president that has put together 200 leaders talking about the entire planet, and they're talking about how feckless and ineffective he is. You're talking about
that's just propaganda for them.
This is what a president should do.
Right.
Should be a leader of the free world.
Right.
When you talk about, Iran has done this, they sent off one ballistic missile. We have thousands. Only thing they can hope to ever do is make sure that you're gonna get mutual annihilation. You're not gonna be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Putin has one friend, Iran. We have 28 people. In NATO, 28 countries in NATO, and you're trying to scare us over some other likes of Putin. If you watch him, he doesn't even look up into Obama's eyes. He can't do it.
I know.
He can't stand it.
Yeah.
This man knows he's the most powerful guy on the planet.
Well, let me read. We were watching the news and the Baltimore case, it's a hung jury in the Freddie Gray case. And Trudy says Baltimore is about to burn down, hung jury. So, hope not, Trudy. I hope that everything remains calm. And I'm just surprised that it is a hung jury. I thought that last night when they couldn't come to a verdict that things would be resolved today. So, we'll see. We'll see how things turn out. So, you were saying how many African Americans was
it? Was seven. There's seven African Americans and five white people.
Okay.
But you know, I'm hung jury doesn't take but one or two people out of 12. So yeah, I sure would like to see what the majority was. What the count was.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Whether that tells you whether they should try it again or not.
I think someone said that they were going to try it again, and that they they were going to use the same jury pool. Did somebody say that, Mr. Free? They will use the same jury pool. Somebody said with this case. Okay. So I thought I heard somebody say.
But somebody's gonna get convicted.
Yeah, they did.
They
say
got
that.
Six of them.
They said that no new jurors. They're gonna go back. They're gonna use the same pool.
Same pool. Okay, that's what I thought. I heard somebody say.
Yeah, but the attorney general, she's after those jokers, boy.
Yeah.
You know, I hope she went because it's time for them to. You know, they talk about criminals. It's amazing how police officers run around and call other people criminals. They are two types of criminals. They are criminals with records, and they are criminals without. Records.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of people like judges, prosecutors, judges ruling, going beyond the sentencing guidelines, all that crazy stuff, going beyond the law to sentence people. You got prosecutors holding evidence and all that. You got police officers standing up there, sitting up there, lying between the teeth just as hard as they can.
Right.
And they know that the people know that they are lying.
Hiding video evidence.
And if they are not criminals, tell me, what are they? You, if you break the law like that and you lie to a federal agent or something, you're going to jail. And they'll sit up there and they'll lie in court and all and won't nobody trying for lying when they know they blatantly lied. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's just a thing where this whole system needs to change. You know, but to me, I think they're making it better. They're gonna do more harm to themselves because after a while
they're going to start hiring more minority police officers in different cities and states and Hispanic stuff like that, because they're going to start moving all of these officers, racist officers. I think what they should do, take all these racist officers, put them in the suburb somewhere, and put most
of
them
where they live anyway.
Man, come on, man. That's where
that's
I
not,
live.
That's
they
not
out
help.
There.
That's not
they
gonna
help.
That's where they live.
I think
that's
it will.
Where
I think it will. If you put minority police officers in the city, in the inner city, I think things
you
would be different.
You haven't fixed the problem. You just moved the problem. That's
you know, Ferguson.
Ferguson
was a robber.
A black police officer, he'll treat you worse than
yeah, he will. It will. But we have a problem in this country, though. We have a problem.
So are you saying you prefer to be stopped by a white officer?
I didn't say that. I'm saying you get the right brother. He can treat you bad too.
Oh,
you're right.
Clarence Thomas' brother. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I don't think they'll do it as often as what's going on now.
No.
The question is, have you seen we haven't seen a case where a black officer has shot a black person in the back. I'm not saying it hasn't happened.
But they've gone along.
But
I'm saying
we haven't seen it in mainstream media as much.
Where he pulled the trigger.
Right.
You haven't seen it.
And the brother is running away.
You said the right thing. You haven't seen it.
Well, we haven't seen it. That's what I'm saying, right? We haven't seen it in mainstream media.
I think it was in Cincinnati where the white cop shot the dude in the car, and then he lied and said he was dragged down the street.
Mm-hmm.
The black officer, his partner, lied along with him.
Right.
Yeah, but
so
he might have pulled the trigger.
Because he lied right along.
But he got to do that.
You don't have to do that.
Listen to me now.
Don't.
Let me finish. Let him finish. He have to do that in his situation, because if he's on patrol by himself and they know he was a traitor towards the officer in blue, if he calls
you're a traitor to the bag.
If he calls somebody for backup,
not black and white, it's blue.
If he called to somebody for backup, they're not coming.
Well,
there could be people, but look, man, they
weren't in the ghetto. They weren't in Cincinnati. They're freaking over there on the college campus, Cincinnati University.
Brian,
give us your perspective of how he should handle it.
Well, when you take the oath of a police officer, it's about the badge. It's not, and if you got crooked cops, bad cops, whatever, it's still about the badge. That's how it should be. Now, in reality, sometimes it's like that, and sometimes it's not. Now, in that situation where he saw that officer and what he did, and he should have thought, oh, dash cam don't lie. So his career is gone anyway.
Well, so, okay, if he had handled the situation like Danny said, and said, no, I disagree, that's not how it happened. And like Danny said, when he goes for, you know, call for backup or whatever, or his fellow, officers turn their backs on him, how do you deal with that?
Because that's what they do.
You just take it to the next level and you make it a big deal.
You got to know better than that.
Or
Look what happened. Look what happened. He went along with it and now he don't have a job.
He shouldn't have a job.
He went along with it.
He
lost.
But you are in a bad situation when you are a police officer and you go to a scene.
Then you know what you just said.
You got to deal with reality, Brian. Okay. Listen to me. You go to a scene and you know some stuff starting, and the police officer, the black police officer, standing back looking at the man just starts shooting somebody for no reason. He can't go nowhere and say, well, yeah, I saw him. He just started shooting the man for no reason.
He just wears a retired as a police officer.
Because you're going to
quash your behavior because I'm in the room. You know what I'm saying? True. When I walk up in there, you should know. You understand? And if you carry yourself in that manner, you know.
There you go. That's the difference. Exactly. You know how you carry yourself.
Exactly.
That's how you carry yourself. That's what the difference is. There you go.
But I'm going to tell you what. I'm not going to just go along with it. You got to draw a line. I can't sleep at night if I know
you
shot him and I'm going to go along with it because we boys.
Well, you should retire and then testify against him.
Why I got to retire for being right?
But you're not dealing with the facts. You're not dealing with reality, though, bro.
Look, the reality is when you grow up and you're in a gang, and if your gang happens to do something wrong, You got
you're not gonna go
to
tell
make.
It.
You got a choice to make.
You're not gonna go tell
well,
it.
Well, look, you got a choice to make. You either and we're talking about police officers, the highest standard out there. And you're gonna tell me two police officers do an unlawful entry. One police officer stand there and let the other police officer do whatever he want to that family, or whatever, and he ain't gonna say nothing.
That's what they do.
No, that but that's not.
But not in every case.
To me.
And if you accept
I'm not
that,
saying
that, if you accept that, then that they
but,
shouldn't even
but
be.
But Brian, I'm not saying that is the correct thing to do. I'm telling you the reality of the situation. If
not
something,
in every situation.
If something like that happens. Those police officers are going to turn against
well,
him.
Well,
I mean, he's going to
have
to
quit.
Look
at
Bill
Chicago.
Like
look at
Bill
Chicago.
How you carry
hopefully,
yourself.
It's going to change. Hopefully, it's going to change.
Right.
Hopefully, it's going to change.
This is Coffee Black, coming through to bring you the latest in sports, celebrity, and entertainment news. Here's the sip this week. So, Big Ish from Mob Wives is battling cancer again. She had a tumor the size of a lemon in her throat and was able to beat it before, but it's back and it looks like it spread to other areas. Prayers for Ange. Eva Longoria is engaged to the president of the largest media company in Latin America. Cha-ching! Oh, and congrats. And it looks like Puffy and Cassie broke up, allegedly over another woman. That sucks, but I'm sure Cassie will be just fine. Oh yeah, and the Panthers are still winning. That makes 13 in a row. Dab. Big Sean's house was robbed while he was in Dubai, and it looks like the robbers left a note with an email address in case he wants his things back. Is this jewelry being held hostage? Insanity. And speaking of insanity, why is TL trying to get the Patriots to sign him through social media? Delusion is the worst drug. I'm just saying. Check out more on my site, thesimplecoffeeblack.com, and tune in next week on the new musicexchangeradio.com for The Sip with Coffee Black. No sugar, no cream.
No sugar, no cream. That's the type of girl I need down with my cane. Black girl, no sugar, no cream.
Check out the Famous Brown TV show every Saturday night at 2 a.m. and Monday mornings at 5 a.m. with your host, Preston Brown. It's exciting. It's fun. It's informative. It's the Famous Brown TV show on CW Richmond 65.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device.
On your computer.
In your ear. And interactive. It's new. It's innovative. And it's on your mobile device.
Android.
iPhone. iPad. And on your computer.
Take us wherever you go.
Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Are you nearing eligibility for Medicare benefits? Then you know now is an important time in your life. Medicare benefits can be a complicated puzzle. You don't want to overpay for your Medicare coverage or get the wrong plan. Let Health Markets Insurance Agency help you. With one free phone call, a licensed insurance agent will help you select a Medicare plan that's right for you and your budget. If you're becoming eligible for Medicare, call today and learn how to get the most out of your benefits.
800-365-6303. 800-365-6303.
Health Markets Insurance Agency is the DBA or assumed name of InSphere Insurance Solutions, Inc., which is an authorized insurance agency in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. Not all agents are licensed to sell all products. Service and product availability varies by state.
Call 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. 800-365-6303. That's 800-365-6303.
Check out the Tanya Free and Friends Rewind every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the May We Help You Radio Network at MWHWRadio.com.
Maximum Pressure.
Was the nights before Christmas and all through the house.
Hold it now, wait, hold it. That's played out. Hit it!
You give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood. Gonna ring, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap about to happen like a D. You were slapping, or I thought you'd been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red suited dude with a friendly attitude and a slave full of goodies for the people on the block. Got a long white beard, maybe look kind of weird. And if you ever see him, he can give you quite a shock. Now people, let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying. Here. Well, the home was out, snow's on the ground. Folks stayed in to party down. The beat was thumping on the box, and I was dancing in my socks, and the drummer played at a solid pace.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Well, go straight to the phone. Larry on line one. How are you, friend?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good, good.
I wanted to ask a question. You know, back in the days, the most powerful entity on this earth was the black church. But now, since the black church has sold its soul after Martin Luther King's death, the two strongest entity on this earth now is the FOP and the corporations. Since the corporation runs the politicians, we talk about how powerful Trump is. Trump is nothing but a puppet. And Trump knows if he don't do what the corporations tell him to do, and if he is the president, he better do what they tell him to do, or he'll end up like Kennedy. What do you think about that? And I'll take it up there. Thank you.
Well,
thank you, Larry.
Well, I think Trump is corporate, is the corporate.
Right.
He's a billionaire, and he has money all around the planet, and he's representing them. He's not going to do anything or say anything or promote anything that's going to hurt his money or his children's money. Okay? He's not going to do it. So he is corporate America.
Right, they get a free ride.
Yes, and has made his money off of government and corporate breaks. That's how he has gotten to be a billionaire.
I agree with that 100%. So they cannot lose if Trump
if
is the president.
There,
yeah.
And the people that's supporting him are the folks that's undereducated,
right.
No high school education.
That's what they say.
That's his base.
That's what they say the other day on the news.
No. That's his base.
That who you talking about? Trump?
Trump.
No.
The people that support him.
You must haven't seen all these focus groups that they've been running on CBS, man. These are working white folks.
Working
with
white folks
that are educated,
no,
and they're afraid. Especially
not according to what I've
read. Not according to what I see.
You need to go back and look at CBS. That dude that does all those focus groups, nationally known, I forget his name, and he's got not blue collar.
George Warner.
That's it. He's got white collar folk in the audience. He's specifically picked out these folk, and they are all in with Trump.
I laugh at that. I'm not thinking about Trump. Trump is nowhere. Let me tell you something about Trump. Trump.
Did you say Trump?
I said.
Don't start no mess, man.
Listen, to be honest, I'm telling you honest the truth. I just observe it. I've been watching this thing. Trump is surprised that he is where he is today.
Yes, oh, yeah. I agree with you. There.
Trump is totally surprised. Trump is trying to regroup because he didn't expect to be this far.
Right.
Yeah, man.
He's trying to regroup, and he's got his daughters and things writing all this stuff and backing him. Now, he don't know what to do because he was in there just for a clown show from the beginning.
He's still a
now
clown
he's
show.
Committed himself. He knows if they chose him as president, he wouldn't have a clue of what to do.
Well, I think
That's why he got his advisors.
I think he wants to bow out gracefully, but he can't find a way.
No, because he's been talking too
that
much trash.
Right, exactly. And then, like you said, I don't believe he thought he would get this far.
No, he's surprised.
But now that
he
has all the attention, you know, it's a feeling he can't, you know, like I said, he can't just get out or jump out or anything and don't want to go out on a negative note.
Yeah.
You know. And he's like, okay, he's sort of stuck.
Yeah, because he jumped in at Tanya just for attention in the beginning.
Right, exactly.
I don't care what nobody said. He jumped in for attention. He knows he's not a presidential type of guy.
Right, exactly.
Now he's gotten stuck out there. He can't just bow down and say, well, you know, we're quitting our campaign.
Right.
We're shutting our campaign down. So now he's got to readjust and reset his mind and all this kind of stuff. Now, he's in trouble. His heart beating fast as I don't know why because he don't know what to do.
Yeah, because he looked a little tired last night because he kept saying the same old thing.
Yeah.
Bring this country back and make it great again.
Make it great again.
And it sounds stale.
And none of the media journalists have asked him, what do you mean? I think Barbara Walters asked him, what do you mean by great again? Yeah. What are you saying?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like for him to answer that question.
Right. Like, we're not great.
You see what I'm saying?
If you listen to Republicans, we can't beat anybody. That's we're military right. weak. And
but can I say something in terms of it'd be someone remiss of me not to respond to my brother in terms of back in the day that the church was really very effective and had some influence. We're living in a culture shift. And the culture shift is that back then, particularly in the African American community, the two most educated folk were the teacher and the preacher. Mm-hmm. Well, today, the preacher's not the only one educated in the congregation. You got a lot of the parishioners who are well educated, and they have this mindset that I know God just like you know God. And they read the Bible for themselves, and it has a double edged sword, because the reality is we still need leaders within our congregations who are committed as servants of God. We still need men and some women who have that prophetic voice. Some women.
Well, what we need, Pat.
I thought he didn't really mean to say that.
Men and women who have that prophetic voice. And priests, and priestly, because in light of all that is going on, even with corporate America, and in various institutions, the church still has that kind of influence and impact. We just have to restructure, come together, and reestablish, first of all, in whom do we believe? Secondly, in all, where is God in the mix of all of this in the lives of those who are leaders? And there are some good leaders out there. There are some good leaders.
There are, but you got to make room for them. And again, in the day, if Big Mama going to church, you go in the church too.
Right.
And Big Mom in there from sun up to sundown, you going to be in there sun up to sundown too.
Today,
you don't make your kids go. I was so happy my son said, popped up going to church.
What? You better get out of here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I didn't make him go.
We made him go. We made both our boys go. I'm sorry.
You can't make these young people go.
Oh, yeah, you can. You can make them go.
You think you can make them go.
I did. Wait a minute. Yeah. I did it.
Okay.
That's not a problem when you say.
If you, okay, look.
If you're going to live under my roof.
Exactly. You go in the church. If I'm going to church, you go in the church.
The worst siblings that we got is preachers' churches. I mean, preachers' churches.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay, so that's when you make them. I think in this day and time, we have given our children freedoms that we did not have.
Well,
and one of the things about religion, and there are a lot of black children,
the families that still go to church and still put their children in churches, but it's not the requirement that we were under.
Sure, you know what I'm saying? Times have changed.
That's the problem. They're going through the most change that we're allowing to happen. You got to do it, though.
If I never forget, if I didn't go to church, oh, I'm sick, I don't feel good. Well, then I want to go out and play football or hang out or whatever. Oh, you know, you in the house the rest of the day.
But even so, I
just transferred that philosophy. If you can't go to church in my house, you might not get fed that day. Well, I don't think you have a job.
Brian, everybody sitting around this table is blessed. We've got people out there who not only don't go to church, but won't even get about bed on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And those kids
is it that serious that people have to go to church? The Bible doesn't say that you have to go to church every Sunday. Wait a minute, I'm gonna correct you about something. Because you're going to put kids out the house and you're going to give them this mandatory rules, X, Y, Z. But see, the thing is, you know, I lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
But you got your beliefs. You don't have to go to church to have a good relationship with the Lord. You can read from your Bible each and every day or how often you wish. And pray at your own place.
Look how that's working today. Let me respond to that. You're talking about the institution.
You're absolutely correct. You don't have to go to the building, but the building is much more than a building, because the church was much more than a place of worship. The church was our cultural center. Mm-hmm. The church was our political center.
Okay.
The church was our business. The church was everything.
Okay.
And technically, the church is the same thing today.
Yeah.
We just do it differently.
But your thing is, the purpose of going to church is to have a good personal relationship with the Lord.
Right.
Let's don't forget that. Sure, the church offer all this other stuff. But the thing to go to church for is to have a good relationship with the Lord.
Oh, my God.
If everybody stayed home, then you wouldn't have a church. Exactly.
But you know what?
Okay, that's not going
to
happen.
Okay, let's go to the phone line because I'm out of time. Will? Hello?
Hello?
Will, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to respond to the preacher.
Uh-huh.
I respect your view. But when you're dealing with the Bible never tell us to follow anyone. The Bible clearly says if you have the help of the Holy Spirit, you need no one to teach you. And the church has made the same mistake that Israel has done. Once the Holy Spirit came, you didn't need no building. So we are the ecclesia, the call out one. So when you set up a building, you're no different than the corporations and also business. The church today is a business. It has used the tithe and ripped the people off of filthy lucre. So let's stick to the Bible. Let's don't give our own interpretation. That's after Martin Luther King, the church is dead.
When Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Not to make a god out of Paul, but Paul was a chosen vessel to teach, to proclaim God's word as Paul understood it. And the reality is that, no, we're not to fall in love with the leaders as if they're a god. Right. Because they are just like any other human being, but they are chosen for a specific task.
Right.
And that is to be a spokesperson for Almighty God. And the reality is that we have some of our brothers and sisters who decided to follow their own ways. And we have too many of our children who are not reared in the church. So we have to go to those children. They have parents who were not reared in the church. We have to go to those children. And in going to those children, teach them as we understand what God wants us to teach. Okay. Not to limit them to the building. But my beloved brother, in these times, we definitely need men and women who believe that they're called special by God to teach the tenets what God expects of us as the people of God.
Amen.
That's it. We got to let that be the last word.
Amen. The church said amen.
Amen.
We're going to pass the plate on you, Reverend.
You got away, man. You got away. They cut me off.
Okay, as always, I thank God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for allowing us the opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. And, of course, thanks to Reverend Woodson, Danny, Brian, Bill, Internet, Miera, Coffee Black, El Bravador, Roosevelt, Mr. Free, Marcus, and Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. Remember to live life with a purpose.
Amen.
The kids are going to love you so. Leave a door for Johnny. Leave a door for Mary. Leave something pretty for Johnny. And don't forget about Gary. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you. Go straight to the ghetto. You know that I know what you will see, 'cause that was once me. Hit it. Hit it. You see mothers and soul brothers. Santa Claus straight to.
Thanks for joining us for this installment of Tanya Free and Friends Talk Radio. Don't forget, the conversation continues 24/7 at tanyafree.com. Keep up with the hottest topics of the day. Post your comments, opinions, and more, all at tanyafree.com. On air, online, and on point.
You are aboard the Tanya Free Experience, Destination Jazz. Straight ahead, bebop, blues, and classic jazz.